Hey, good morning, Harvest. Hope you're doing well. Beautiful day outside. We're having to do things a little bit different this morning. Hopefully this is working. Man, I miss you guys. And something I'm constantly, every single Sunday, I'm reminded that we are still under house arrest, as it were. We're still under a stay-at-home order here in Kansas. Different states are opening up, and we're trusting God to give us a direction on what steps to take in beginning to meet again and do some different things like that. So please be in prayer for the leadership and what steps we need to take as we trust God that He's going to allow us to start meeting again so we don't have to meet like this. All right, so I want to ask you, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, specifically the first four verses. I believe there's a couple in the Bible that we can look to get some answers, to get some direction, to help us know exactly what steps to take during situations like this, what we're going through. Because I'm telling you, church, we got to get this. This is a huge opportunity for us to utilize our homes instead of feeling trapped inside of them. I feel trapped at times, and I'm sure that you feel trapped at times. You get bored. You're looking for all kinds of different things to do. Well, what an opportunity for us to invest in our homes. What an opportunity for us to not resent our homes, but utilize them and start planning for ways to utilize our homes. When we begin to meet again, we may not be able to go to the building down on the corner of Jackson and Walnut. We may have to meet in homes. We may have to do things a little bit different. And so we have to be flexible. And man, if anything our church is able to be is flexible, we need to understand that what an opportunity is this is for us to utilize our homes instead of resenting them. And so this message is coming to you from my living room, and it's beaming into yours. This is an opportunity for our homes to become the center of our ministries. Of our ministries, not just the ministry of HBC, but of your ministry, of my ministry, that the home becomes the center of it. Now, when I meet somebody new, right, if I get to know somebody or just begin to learn a little bit about their life and those type of things, one of the first questions I'm going to ask them is, do you have a church home? And I'm sure you ask people the same question. Hey, do you have a church home? Do you have a place that you are going to church? And the answers are all over the board. Yes, I have a home. Yes, I have a church home. Or yes, I do this. Or yes, I go there. Or I used to go to church. Whatever the answer is, the question I want to pose this morning to you, the question I want to pose this morning to me, to the Godfrey House, is this question right here. Do you have a ministry home? Do you have a ministry home? That's different than having a church home. Do you have a ministry home? In other words, a home that ministry takes place in. A home that we share the gospel in, that we invite people into, that we make disciples in, that we always have people into our house. Do we have a ministry home? Because we're going to look at a couple here in the scriptures that lay out for us exactly what it looks like to have a home that is dedicated to the ministry. Now, before we get to Acts chapter 18, I want to read this verse to you. It's in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." All right, so if you don't want to serve God, you're going to serve something. You always serve something. You serve someone or something. So if you don't want to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you're going to serve. And then he says, "Whether the gods," little g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods," little g, "of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." And then Joshua says this. He says, "But as for me," personal, my house, his responsibility, his sphere of influence, he says this, "We will serve the Lord." He doesn't say we're going to believe in God. He doesn't say we're going to attend church. We're going to attend worship services. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, him and his house are going to serve the Lord. He said, I'm going to have a house that is dedicated to the ministry. So what we can say is that Joshua has a ministry home. Well, man, we love to quote this verse. We have it up on our walls. We have it embroidered on pillows. We have all kinds of sayings about that one verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you really believe it, and do you live it? Because it's easy to say words like that, but it's completely different when you actually put them into practice. And so the question on the table this morning, right now, is do you have a ministry home? Is your home a place for ministry? Are people getting ministered to? And I'm not just talking physically, but in spiritual terms. Who's getting saved at your dining room table? Who are you investing in? Who's getting discipled at your kitchen table? Who are you investing in? Who's sitting on your couch? What lives are you pouring into? Do you have a home that's dedicated to the ministry? And when you look here in Acts chapter 18, we're introduced to this couple. Their names are Aquila and Priscilla. And I'm telling you, they may be the absolute best couple to help us to see how to use our home as a ministry tool. So Acts chapter 18, in verses 1 to 4, it gets us going. What you'll find is, as you study Aquila and Priscilla, they're not mentioned a whole lot in Scripture. But the places that they are mentioned, their home is always mentioned. They're always tied to where they live and their home. And in fact, we find that they have four different homes within the Scripture. And Acts chapter 18 invites us to the very first one. So let's go knock on their door, as it were. So Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, I want to read it, and then I want to pray, and then we're going to dive right in. Verse 1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. All right, so let's pray, and we're going to dive right into this passage. Lord, I pray that you would move today, Lord, that you would speak. Lord, any weirdness or nervousness that I have, Lord, I pray that you would take it away, Lord, so that I would have freedom to proclaim your truth, so that I have the availability and the ability to be honest with the book, with the word of God. Lord, I pray that it would cut, Lord, that it would convict, Lord, that it would edify, Lord, that it would encourage, Lord, that you would give us direction as a church and direction as individual families and individuals within the church on how to have a ministry home, to turn our homes into places of ministry and into houses of worship. Lord, that is my prayer, and I pray that you would speak today. Lord, allow us to receive your truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what you find here in verse 2 of chapter 18 is that they have been kicked out of Rome. So if you notice right here in the middle of verse 2, it says that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. So there's a persecution to the Jews, and Aquila and Priscilla are Jewish. And so they're kicked out of Rome, and they end up in this town, or this city called Corinth. Now, Corinth is known for its debauchery. Corinth is known for its sin and its wickedness and their worship of Diana, and Artemis, and the false worship. That's who Corinth is known for. But they just come in and try to find a job. They're just trying to find a place to set up shop and do their job. And what you find in verse 3 is that they're tent makers. They make tents for a living. And so, man, if there's something for you, if you want to get a hold of that, if you're going to do a job, you're going to go to school for something, do something that you can be used anywhere and everywhere for the kingdom. And that's what's happening here. They said, okay, we were making tents in Rome. I guess we'll go make tents in Corinth. They need tents too. And so here's their Corinthian house. And what you find here in verses 1 to 4 is that their home becomes the pattern for what ministry looks like within the home. Their home becomes a pattern for what a ministry home is. Their home becomes a tool for ministry, but it's not them using it. Paul is using their home. Paul is laying out for them. This is what a ministry home looks like, because Aquila and Priscilla, they're not even saved that we know of at this point. So look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And when he gets there, he finds a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from them and came unto them. So Paul shows up at Corinth. He's a tent maker. He looks for anybody else that's a tent maker. He says, hey, you guys are making tents. You got this house set up and you're making tents here. Can I just come and live with you? Can I come and dwell with you? Now, he does it because there's an open door for him to share the gospel with somebody who's got like passion and like occupation, and they're beginning to do the work together. So he moves in with them. How crazy is that? So he comes to them and he begins to invest and share the gospel with them as he's using their home as a launching pad for ministry. And so what you see here in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, he dwelt with them, and wrought. In other words, he's working, he's doing the work, he's trying to receive money so he can fund the ministry. And at the end of verse 3, he says, for by their occupation they were tent makers. In verse 4, look at this. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And so every Saturday he would get up, he would put away the work. Nobody's doing any work on the Sabbath for the Jewish Sabbath. And he would go to the synagogue, and then he would begin to have dialogue with Jews and Greeks about Jesus Christ, persuading them and sharing the gospel with them. That would be equivalent to us walking into like a Mormon church every single Sunday and having a dialogue and persuading people to meet Christ. That would be equivalent to walking into a mosque and doing the exact same thing. A little bit equivalent. I mean, can you imagine doing that? Sharing the gospel that boldly. So he's in Aquila and Priscilla's house. Apparently they get saved. And he's using their home as a launching pad for ministry. And so what does he do? He uses the home. He goes off, he preaches the gospel. He comes back into the home. He leaves the home, goes off, preaches the gospel, and brings people back into the home. That is the pattern. And so the home receives the gospel. They get saved. But not only that, not only do they get saved, but he begins to disciple them. He begins to invest in them. And we know that a little bit later in chapter 18. So we'll look at that here in just a few moments. But Paul uses his job as their and at their house as a way to reach this key couple in the ministry. So he goes to a key city, and he finds a key couple. And amazingly, this house becomes a launching pad for ministry. All right, so that's their Corinthian house. It becomes the pattern. Right? It's the pattern. They're not using their home as the pattern. Somebody else is using their home as a pattern. Maybe that's where you need. Maybe you're like, I have no idea how to turn my home into a ministry home. Well, maybe you need to find somebody that has a ministry home and invite them into your home so that they can teach you how to turn your house into a pattern of a ministry home. All right, so stay in chapter 18 and look over here in verse 18. So chapter 18, verse 18. So a little bit of time has gone by. And when you get to verse 18, Paul is launching off. He's heading to the city of Ephesus across the sea. He goes back over into Asia. And he takes Aquila and Priscilla with him. You see this in verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila. Notice their names are now flip-flopped. It was Aquila and Priscilla over here in verse 2. And then over here in verse 18, it's Priscilla and Aquila. Why? Because they are a team. They were equal. They have different roles within the home, but they were equal. Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Verse 19. And he came to Ephesus. This is Paul. Comes to Ephesus and left them there. He leaves Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Well, there he goes again. He's hopping off into the synagogue. He's preaching Jesus. And then he ends up leaving. Verse 20. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. So Paul leaves. He goes to Ephesus, preaches Jesus, and then he leaves. But he leaves Aquila and Priscilla there. But here's what Aquila and Priscilla have. They now have the pattern. So we've knocked on their Corinthian door. Let's go knock on their home in Ephesus, because their home in Ephesus now becomes the center for discipleship. They get it. They absolutely get this. Skip down to verse 24. So here's what they do. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. All right, so here's this guy, Apollos, who shows up in Ephesus, and he is preaching his guts out. He is genuinely loves the Lord. He's genuine to the things that he knows of the Lord. He's preaching boldly the baptism of John. Here's the problem. Jesus is dead. He was crucified. He was buried, and he rose again. There's a new gospel, right? And all he's doing is preaching this baptism of John. Well, he's doing so in the synagogue, and guess who happens to be in the synagogue? That's right. Aquila and Priscilla. Look at verse 26. And when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, look at this, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. So what they do, they left their home, they went to the synagogue because they want to lead people to Christ. Look at this, they find a key person in a key city. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What happened? They left the home. They went off into their sphere of influence. In this instance, it's the synagogue. They find a key man, and what do? They say, hey, why don't you come eat roast with us today after church? Why don't you come over to the house, and let's have a conversation. And that's exactly what happens. What did they do? They followed the pattern that Paul had given them about their home. And so they go from the house to the synagogue. They meet people, and they bring them back to the house. And then their house becomes the center for discipleship. And so they expound unto him the way of God more perfectly at the end of verse 26. And so he gets discipled. That doesn't happen in an afternoon. This takes a period of time. And then you find in verse 27, and when he, that's Apollos, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, back over into Greece, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So he was preaching the baptism of John, and now what's he doing? He's publicly preaching Jesus. Why? Because Aquila and Priscilla made their home a place of ministry. They had a ministry home. That's what happened. They make disciples that make disciples. And so what's Paulus do? He goes back to Corinth, the place that they left. He goes back to Corinth, and he goes and makes disciples there. Now, hold your spot. In fact, you could be turning to Romans chapter 16. And if you got time, slide over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just real quick on your way to Romans chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19 says, the churches of Asia salute you. So when Paul is writing back to this church at Corinth, the churches of Asia, that would be Ephesus, Colossae, and all these different places, the churches of Asia salute you. And then notice what he says in verse 19. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is where? It's in their house. And so they go into Ephesus. They lead Apollos to Christ. Well, Apollos isn't the only one they're reaching for the Lord. Apollos isn't the only one they're preaching to. Apollos isn't the only one that's being invited in their home. No, they're leading people to Christ and making disciples in their ministry home. So the church at Ephesus met at Aquila and Priscilla's house. All right, well, they weren't always in Corinth. They weren't always in Ephesus. And what you find when you get to Romans chapter 16 is that they have now left Ephesus and they've gone back to the hometown, they've gone back to Rome. So let's go knock on their door in Rome. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 3. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in where? Their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Okay, there's a lot going on here. But what I want you to see right here is that they have gone from learning what a ministry home looks like, when Paul is laying out the pattern, to exercising that in Ephesus, where their home becomes a discipleship home. And then you get here in Romans chapter 16. Now they become very missions-minded. They want to go back to the place that they were kicked out of. Why? Because now, by this time, Nero is in charge of Rome, and he's allowed the Jews to return. Well, they're of Jewish descent, but that now they're in Christ. So they leave Rome one way, they return to Rome a completely different person, and so they take advantage of the open door. And so now Rome is opened, boom, they go in, creates this vacuum, and they run in and preach Jesus. So they're very missions-minded now. So it's a missions-minded home. And you find here in Romans chapter 16, in verse 5, that the church meets in their house. They literally laid down their lives for the Lord. Look, notice this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, Priscilla's name means little ancient one. And Aquila means eagle, just in case you were wanting to know. The little ancient one. And Aquila means eagle. But he says, they're my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And then he says, likewise greet the church that is in their house. This amazing couple is a very missions-minded, and they take advantage of this open door. And I'm telling you, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to keep our eyes open around the world, or especially in our spheres of influence, to seize open doors and be willing to pack up and move to that place of the open door. And the reason we do that is to get to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out, but knowing that it may cost you your life. Knowing that it may mean that you have to lay down your own neck. And it says that Paul is not only thankful, but the churches of the Gentiles are thankful. Well, why would they be thankful? Because had it not been for these two, and having a missions-minded home, having a ministry home, there wouldn't be some other churches. They would have hindered people from getting saved. Do you understand that their impact and one guy named Apollos impacted the entire city of Corinth greatly? What would happen if you just met with one person in your home, led them to Christ, made a disciple, and then they go off and do their thing? You have no clue the amount of impact you could have around the world and just investing in one, if you would just use your home as a ministry home. Well, Tony, I just don't like people in my house. I stay to myself. Okay, you're more than welcome to do that. But you will not bear fruit. And God will take care of that, the judgment of Christ. We are living in some crazy times, guys. Do you understand that I'm preaching to a camera? We are living in some crazy times. And what's amazing to me is the impact that this one message might have all over the world. We've had hundreds of people tuning in and watching these messages, at least portions of them, sharing them. And the impact that this small little church is having around the world is amazing. And I'm telling you, we have got to be prepared. We may never be able to go back into a building. I don't know. The Lord might return before then. But here's what we can do. Open up our homes. And there may be a time when we have to do that. But we just have a multiple home churches all over town for a while. I don't know. I don't know what God has. But I do know this. We need to have ministry homes. Homes where ministry takes place. Homes where people are willing to lay down their lives for the gospel. And doing the work. I don't know if you're paying attention, but how quick people gave up their rights how quickly people gave up their freedoms in the name of health, and how fast governments turned on churches. That stuff is happening, and it's happening today. Now, are we prepared to have a house church? Are we prepared to have a ministry home? Or so they lived in Corinth. They lived in Ephesus. They went into Rome and planted one of the five churches in Rome. But I'm going to ask you to flip over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, specifically verse 19, we're introduced to this couple again. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 19, he said, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." But what's going on here? Well, if you are aware of what's going on in 2 Timothy, this is Paul's last letter that he writes, that we have access to. This is the last letter he writes, and he writes it to Timothy before Paul loses his head in a Roman prison. And what you find is he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And when Paul is writing to them, he says, "Hey, I want you to say hey to Prisca and Aquila. Could you do that for me?" And what you find is she's not Priscilla anymore. Her name is Prisca. Why? Because her name was no longer Little Ancient. Her name is now Ancient. And what you find is this is later in their life. Definitely later in their ministry. And she's no longer considered the Little Ancient. Now she is the Ancient One. And she's embraced that. And so it says, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." And you find that they have now gone from Corinth to Ephesus, back to Rome, and now we find that they, as far as we know, finish their ministry in Ephesus with a young man named Timothy who is pastoring. And what you find about this home is it becomes sold out to the mission. It becomes sold out to the mission. Here's a couple that moved in their old age to another city, to another country, to another continent, because they were sold out to the mission. And they want to be plugged into what God is doing in their older age. And I'm sure there's somebody listening to this message going, "Yeah, having a ministry home is great for those younger people." Well, wait a second. This is not a younger couple. This is an older couple. And they have made their way back to Ephesus to help Timothy in the work that needs to take place in Ephesus. And what you find is the church in Ephesus, man, they began to spread, and they planted church all over the place. Churches like Colossae, Laodicea, Thyatira. They planted churches all over that place, and it came out of Ephesus. And don't tell me for a second that Aquila and Priscilla didn't have a huge part in that. I guarantee they did. And they were sold out to the mission of God. Why? Because they decided way back when Paul knocked on their door and said, "Hey, I see that you're making tents. I make tents. Let's do this together." That was a huge moment because Paul taught them how to have a ministry home, how to use their home as a launching pad for ministry, how to welcome people in, how to lead people to Christ, how to make disciples, how to send them out, and being willing to pick it all up and move whenever God says. They were a very nomadic couple. Some of you are not nomadic. Some of you barely get out of Allen County. And I get that. That's okay. Some of you are nomadic to the bone, to the core. The idea of picking up and moving excites you. Don't move just for the sake of it. Only move to a key place because God is leading you to reach key people, and because God is going to use your home as a ministry home, as a tool for ministry. We, as Harvest Baptist Church, are having multitudes of home churches right now. In Chanute, in Burlington, in Iola, in Humboldt, in Moran, in La Harpe and Gas City, you name it. But we have home churches all over the place right now. But do we have home ministries? Do we have ministry homes? That's what I'm calling us to. Make your home a place of discipleship, a place that's going to support missions. And it just might mean that your home might need to get picked up and place you someplace else to accomplish the mission. Now, I don't know how much time we have left on this planet. I don't. I don't know when the rapture takes place. I don't know about any of that stuff. But it could come at any time. But what if God is giving us a slice of time to make an eternal difference? Clifford Clark used to say that all the time. And that's what we want to do. Let's take advantage of the slice of time that we have. And let's not whine about it, but let's embrace this opportunity that we have to have some ministry homes. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the truths contained in it. And I thank you for what you show us with Aquila and Priscilla. Lord, may these truths continue to resonate in our hearts and in our lives. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll put hands and feet in turning our homes into ministry homes. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you guys. Bye-bye.